So let me just say Shavua Tov, we'll close the doors. You know that I've become recently very fond of this sefer called Shvilei Pinchas. And we didn't get a chance to really discuss the main theme of Parashas Kisisa, which is the Chet HaEgel. And I think he does a brilliant job here connecting the Chet HaEgel and Moshe Rabbeinu together with Mordechai and together with David HaMelech. And one of the fundamental questions that he's addressing is the question of who can save Klali. So you know, very often, unfortunately, through our very zigzagged history and destiny, the Jewish people have always been subject to various gzeros, you know, against the Jewish people. And the miracles that occur to save and protect the Jewish people are a result of the intervention of various personalities. So the question So the question he wants to address here is, what are the qualities that make up a leader that fits this unique category, that he has within him the power, the authority, the tefillah, the koach of prayer to save Klal Yisrael? So let's begin with a statement in the Yerushalmi, which is relevant to Purim. We're still in the mood for Purim. Purim, we shall not forget you. And it says in the Yerushalmi in Purim that if somebody comes and asks for tzedakah, that's called his poshet es yado, he stretches his hand out, then we give him. Now, as we don't start questioning him and investigating, is he on the up and up? We don't ask for the documents.
It's funny, Rabbi, because when I left here on Thursday night, I went past the SOS next door.
Right.
So the secular guy came up to me and quoted that pasuk to me.
Right, I see.
But no excuse, you've got to give me that.
Very good.
I thought,
excellent.
Very good, okay.
See, they know what to quote and when. Now, the question is, is there some sort of deeper meaning to this halacha, meaning a symbolic meaning? Obviously, we always have to interpret halacha on the straightforward level, that if he comes, you have to give him. But on a deeper level, what does this mean? So he has an insight here from the Gera Rebbe, the Chidush HaRim, that goes back a long time. And he says the following. He says that we want to be able to come to the Ribono Shel Olam and ask for what's called an Eis Ratzon, ask for Hashem to have mercy on us, compassion. And we can actually, in a sense, accomplish that, because up in Shamayim, they treat us the way we treat our fellow Jew down on earth. So therefore, if we say to a person who puts his arm out, yeah, we're willing to give you, This is our will, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu up in Shemayim does the same. When we ask Him for something on behalf of ourselves or our families or our community, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu really has the right to say, wait a minute, who are you? Do you have the credentials? Are you worthy of this compassion? But says the Chidush HaRim that on Purim we have an amazing power to ask Hashem, and with that petition to God, God says, I'm not going to even check out to see if you have all the credentials. You know, it's just like you went ahead and you gave and had compassion on another Jew without checking out his documents to see if he's worthy. So too, God says, that's how I'm going to treat you in the same way. So the halacha down here, which is called lamata, meaning in our world, in our relationship between one Jew and the other, is in a sense generates a certain parallel kind of behavior, so to speak, in which God behaves the same way towards us. He treats us the way we treat our fellow Jew. And if you talk about what the tzaddikim do and what they accomplish, you take a look at a pasuk in Megillas Esther. You remember that Esther made this banquet, and at the banquet, the king turns to her and says, "Mashe lasech v'inasein lach. What is your petition, and I will grant it to you." And even though the pasuk says "Vayomer haMelech," which literally means Achashverosh, but since it doesn't say specifically Achashverosh, we have a rule based on the Medrash in Esther that whenever it says Melech in the Megillah, it refers to who?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
The Melech Malchim HaMelechim. So Hashem says at this Mishta Yayin, which is symbolic of the Mishta, our Se'ud of Yayin on Purim, Ma Sheila Seich V'Yinosein Loch. God says, whatever you ask for, I will grant you. So there's some sort of very amazing power that inheres in Purim that we can ask Hashem with deep felt supplications and bakoshos, and Hashem will grant it to us, even though we're not worthy, because we give out matanos levyonim that might not be worthy. And number two, because Hashem declared at the time of the miracle of Purim that you can ask me for whatever you want to ask me for, be nothing. So virtually any legitimate bakasha that we have, the best day of the year to ask Hashem for that is on Purim. Okay. Now let's begin to perhaps understand on a deeper level why it is on Purim that Hashem says, whatever you ask for, I'll grant you. So in order to understand that, we have to study the personality of Mordechai. The opening description of Mordechai, and this is something that we all know because we recited together with the Shliach Tzibur, is Ish Yehudi Hayah B'Shushana Biro Shmo Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Shimi Ben Kish Ish Yemini. So the opening line here in describing and introducing Mordechai is Ish Yehudi. Now whenever you see the word Ish anywhere in Tanakh, you know that it means a very, very significant thing. You know, it's not just everyone. Ish is somebody of great significance. And according to Chazal, this pasuk, which is written in the Megillah as part of Ruach HaKodesh, is going to tell us something about Moshe Rabbeinu, because the first person to be called Ish, or shall we say, the Ish of Mordechai, Ish Yehudi, is connected to which Ish, which person who came before Mordechai. And the answer is, according to Chazal, this is Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Torah describes Moshe Rabbeinu as Ish Moshe Anav Mi'od. He's also called Ish. So we have a kind of a Gzeira Shava when you find the same word in two contexts, and here you find the word Ish referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, and you find Ish referring to Mordechai, then there's some sort of connection between the two. Now when the Torah describes Moshe as Ha'ish, it says the following: Va'ish Moshe Anav Mi'od. Are you familiar with that pasuk? If we had time, we would look it up, but let's just move on. The pasuk itself describes Moshe Rabbeinu as Anav Mi'od. He's very humble. And if that Moshe Rabbeinu, who's described as Ish, is described as humble, his humility is Anav Mi'od, then if the same word Ish appears as an introduction to Mordechai, then Mordechai is also an Ish Anav Mi'ot. He's a very humble person. We're going to see as we go through this essay that humility is what connects Moshe Rabbeinu and Mordechai in a very tight connection. And both, you'll see, have the ability through that midah, through that attribute of humility, to bring about great changes in which God responds to their prayers and their supplications. In fact, if you take a look at Ish Yehudi, you'll find something very interesting. Just the letters themselves. Because It works like this. Hamizgoya poge b'shem yud kei b'gmatria gaiva. Now, you know, there are various names of God, and the shortest name of God is Yud and then a He. And if a person is not humble, but rather he is arrogant, which is called in Hebrew Ga'ava, then that Ga'ava stands in contradiction to Yud Kei. Now, why is that? If you take a look at the word Gaava, it has three, right, the Gimel is three, then it has one, makes four, then you have six, makes ten, and then you have Hey, which makes 15. Now 15 is also the name of this short name of God, which is Yud Kei. And sometimes what you have in the world of secrets in the world below the surface, you have what's called Kiddusha and Klipa. Are you familiar with that? In other words, opposites. So what you have is that the opposite of Yud Kei is going to be Gaava. And the person who is an Ish Anav, he reflects the Mida of Yud Kei, of Hashem Himself. Now let's take a look at a comment of Targum Yonah's son, which is on the top left column here, regarding Yoshua bin Nun. It says that Yoshua bin Nun, Moshe Rabbeinu decided to call Yoshua bin Nun and send him on this great task to fight the battle against Amalek. But the pasuk doesn't spell out exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu saw in Yoshua bin Nun. Why did he choose Yoshua bin Nun? So Targum Yonah's son says the following: Kedichama Moshe and Venuse. When Moshe became aware of the fact that Yoshua is also personification of Anvenuse, meaning of his humility, then he called in Yoshua bin Nun. And the Chidah adds that at that point, Moshe Rabbeinu changes the name of Yoshua. And his original name, if you know, was Hoshea. Correct, excellent. And Hashem changed, or actually Moshe was the one who did it, he changed the name of Hoshea to Yehoshua. And Rashi explains, why did he add the Yud to the name Yoshua? And he says, his palel olav, Yud Kei, right, by adding the Yud to Hoshea, which makes it Yoshua, Yoshiacha me'atzas meraglim. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I mentioned before Amalek, but I stand corrected. This pasuk is the introduction to the meraglim. You remember that Yoshua was one of the 12 members of the tribes, representative of the tribes that was sent to scout out the land of Israel. And Moshe Rabbeinu, adding a Yud to Yoshua's name, to Hoshea, added a tefillah that Yoshua, God should spare you from the Atzas Meraglim, protect you from the other scouts, you know, the 10 evil scouts. And he says that why is this Yud Kei protecting Yoshua? Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah was that the Yud Kei should protect Yoshua. And the answer is that Yoshua was a personification of Anova. And when Moshe Rabbeinu realizes this, he makes sure that Yoshua will continue in that path, because Yoshua now is very much an accompaniment or a partner, a supporter of Yud Kei. Yud Kei means Anova, you know, God as the perfect, infinite personification of humility. So Moshe Rabbeinu adds the Yud, so the first two letters of Yoshua's name are Yud Kei, meaning that you are now connected with Hashem, with Yud Kei. And why? Because of your Midah of Anova. So again, what we have so far is the following: that Moshe Rabbeinu is called Ha'ish Moshe Anov Ma'od, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the personification of humility. We have Mordechai, who's called Veha'ish, Ish Yehudi, Ayav Shushan, he also personifies personifies this attribute of Anova. Moshe Rabbeinu stands up and pleads on behalf of the people of Israel, and he spares the people of Israel from destruction. And Mordechai is going to do the same, and that's because Mordechai personifies that same midah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yoshua ben Nun is eventually going to play a major role not only in destroying Amalek, but also in destroying the seven nations that occupy the land. What gives Yoshua and his prayers that power? The answer is Yoshua is also an embodiment of this midah of Anova, of humility. Now it's very interesting that in Parshas B'Shalach, when the Torah says that God is out in a battle against Amalek, it says Yud Kei. And it could be that Amalek is Gaiva. Because you take the word Amalek and you calculate its numerical value, that 70 and 40 is 110, and 30 is 140, is 240. That's the same numerical value as Ram. Ram means someone who builds himself up and he's full of himself. So that's Amalek. Amalek thinks that, you know, we are the Aryan race, if you know what I mean. And Hashem says that Yod, meaning Yud Kei, is going to have a Melchama B'Amalek. Why? Because Yud Kei is the antithesis of Gaiva. And the Yud Kei cannot tolerate Amalek, because Amalek represents that klipa, that evil of Gaiva. So the Yud Kei is representative, as we said before, of the attribute of Anova, of humility, and that's going to battle against Amalek, who personifies Gaiva. And now we begin to understand where Mordechai fits into this picture. Mordechai is called Ish Yehudi. Now, Yehudi has really the name of God in it, right? It has the Yud Kei. No, just one second. Yud Kei, it has that part. And then it says, B'miluo. Okay, that's interesting. B'miluo. So what does the word bimiluo mean? Bimiluo means when you write out the letter with all its letters, right? So Yud becomes Yud Vav Dalid, and He becomes He Yud. So basically, when you say about someone he's Yehudi, and when it refers to Mordechai, it means that he represents Yud Kei. Does everybody see that? Should I go over that one more time? Will you have that?
Again, if you do one more.
Sorry. If you Bimilua means when you take a letter and you write it out. So for example, if you're writing out the letter Yud, it's Yud Vav Dalet. If you're writing out the letter Hey, it's Hey Yud. So if you take those two letters, which form the name of God, Yud Kei, that personifies humility, then what you end up with is Yehudi. Because Yehudi has the Yud Vav Dalet and it has the Hey Yud. So it has all five letters of Yud and He. And that's going to be the description of none other than Mordechai, who represents Anova. He has the same quality as Moshe Rabbeinu, Ish Anov, Ish Yehudi. And his name, Yehudi, or his description as Yehudi, it connects him with Yud Kei, B'miluo, because that's the name of God as an Anova. And now Mordechai is going to fight against the klipa of Gaiva, which is exact antithesis of Anova. And therefore, we begin to understand the Gemara in Chulin on the bottom left here, we're about to turn the page, says Mordechai ben Ator Minayin Dechsiv Mar Dror. Now Mar Dror, which is the name of Mordechai, is a reference to a battle against Amalek. And why is that so? Because the word Mar is the same as Ram, just to switch the order, switch the sequence. Instead of Mem, Resh, you read it Resh Mem. Resh Mem, if you remember, was the Klipa of Amalek. Because Amalek is 240, which is Ram. And Ram means, you know, he holds himself high in the air. Now comes along Mordechai, and he's Mar Dror. And Mar is the opposite of Ram. So that Mordechai now becomes the antithesis of Amalek. And why is that so? Because whereas Amalek is Ram, meaning builds himself up, You know, it's all about me. Mordechai, on the other hand, is Mar. He switches around the letters because he is the representative, the personification of Hanav, of humility. And he's going to battle against the Klip of Gaiva, which is Haman, which is Zera Molek, and therefore he's going to defeat Haman. And now we can begin to ask the question that we asked at the outset: what is it about both Moshe Rabbeinu and Mordechai that give them the uncanny power and ability to put forth a request and God accepts it? No, God rescinds his evil decree because of their supplications. So, for example, if we take the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, where the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to protect and save the Jewish people from destruction in the aftermath of the Chet HaEgel, which is Parshas Kisisa, it says Ma Moshe Amad B'Peretz. Moshe Rabbeinu stood when there was a breakage. Peretz means it broke open, and God saw what the Jewish people were doing with the Egel, and he wanted to bring his wrath upon the people. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He says, I'm going to defend the Jewish people. And he says, Lama zeyichare apcha ba'amecha sharetzeto me'amcha meretz Mitzrayim b'kol gadol b'yon chazaka. Okay, so what we have here is that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to save Klal Yisrael from destruction after the Chet HaEgel by saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save the Jewish people. And if not for Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't know what would have happened. Now we find a statement which equates Mordechai with Moshe Rabbeinu, that just like Moshe Rabbeinu was able to save Klal Yisrael at the time of the Gzeira after the Chet HaEgel, so too Mordechai was able to save Klal Yisrael from the Gzeira of Haman by praying on their behalf. And that's why the Megillah ends by describing Mordechai as Doresh Tov Liamo. He, so to speak, demands goodness for his nation, V'domer Shalom L'chol Zaro, and he demands peace for all of the children and the descendants of the Avos. And how is he able to achieve this Doresh Tov Liyama that Hashem would, so to speak, fold under and capitulate to his supplications? Is the answer is because he, like Moshe Rabbeinu, is able to be Omeid B'Peretz. He's able to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am an Anav, I represent that power of Yud Kei, I am the antithesis of the Klip of Amalek. Instead of Gaiva, we have Marjror, which is Anova. So we have, number one, the following. We have that Moshe and Mordechai are both an Anov. Each one is an Anov, respectively. Number two, we have the ability to destroy and undermine the Gzeira against the Jewish people, both in the case of Moshe and Mordechai. Number three, Moshe Rabbeinu teaches Torah to Israel, and Mordechai is also a teacher of Torah. Moshe transmits the Torah, and Mordechai transmits the Torah. And Mordechai means that he has an impact on Klal Yisrael. It says in the Gemara Megillah that as a result of the salvation, the miracle of Purim, Kimu v'Kivlu. In other words, they accepted the Torah at the time of Har Sinai, but that was a little bit of a force. They were coerced. You remember what it says? And then they reaccepted the Torah, Baratzon, Besimcha, meaning out of their own motivation at the time of Mordechai. So there's a parallel here again between Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai and Mordechai and the Kibu V'Kiblu that they reaccepted the Torah. So at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu's Kafalem, Har Kigigis, they really didn't have that much choice in the matter. If they wouldn't accept the Torah, they would have been buried there by this mountain that was hovering over them. And back in the time of Mordechai, they reaccepted the Torah, but this time they did it willingly, not because they were afraid that the mountain would fall on their heads and they'd be destroyed. And if you ask why is it, what's unique about the miracle of Purim, that now Klal Yisrael is so moved, so inspired to accept the Torah B'Ahava, with love, and the answer has to be, based on the Gemara in Tainus, why is Torah always compared to Mayim? Like, for example, Yeshayahu HaNavi says, heavy called Tzomei Lechul Mayim, and Chazal say Ein Mayim El Torah. Why the equation between Torah and Mayim? Yeah, you want to talk about the equation between Torah and Dvash. You know, this Torah is sweet. You want to talk about the equation between Torah and Chalav and milk, because milk, you know, is what a mother gives to her child to sustain. The Torah sustains us. But what's the equation between Torah and Mayim? So the simple shot would be
the world was created based on Torah.
Correct, and the whole creation of the world depends upon Mayim, right? Because without water, things. So he goes and he quotes a Gemara in Titus. Listen to this Gemara in Titus. Gemara says that Torah is like Mayim. If you have water on a mountain, then ultimately that water is going to fall down. That means that water goes from high points down to low points. And that's what the Torah is. A person who has shiftless, meaning has humility, that's where the Torah is found. And Mordechai was able to reach this level of Torah equals Mayim, of humility. And with his anava, his humility, he was able to defeat the klipa of Amalek, which is Gaiva, against the Haman. And he was able to impact with his sanctity on the people of Israel, that they too should follow in his footsteps and imitate him and become humble people. They should be humble people like this, like Mordechai is. And it means that the Torah comes down like water that comes down from a high place. And once the people of Israel identify with this midah anava, then they deserve the Torah. And they would receive the Torah once again a second time around. But here they don't need to be compelled to accept the Torah, because they are now an embodiment of the midah of anava. And that's what it means, Torah. Torah equals Mayim, which equals anava. And therefore the people of Israel now are ready and eager to receive the Torah. Okay, fine. So now we have the equation between Mordechai and Moshe. Now, what goes on in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu? It's interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu says in this week's parasha, "Kach lecha b'samim rosh." Maybe Gershon, I could show you to open this up, so we'll see it inside. It's Shmos Lamed, Pasuk Chav Gimel. If you tell us what page it is in the blue chumashim,
Lamed Chav Gimel.
Yeah, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Chav Gimel. Can you find it?
Yes, almost there. Right?
You're almost there? Okay, good. It should be the end of Kisisa, no? Or is the beginning of...
Actually, Lamed Kafka, actually it's the beginning of Kisisa.
Oh, the beginning of Kisisa, okay.
Perek Lamed Kaf Gimel.
Yeah. What page is on?
210.
210, okay.
We got to talk Kachlaka B'samim.
Oh, Kachlaka B'samim, then it says Rosh, correct?
Mar Dinor.
Oh, very good, excellent. Kach lecha b'samim rosh. This pasuk is a reference, says the Medrash, to Mordechai. And there's an amazing statement in the Medrash. The Medrash says, Shokol ayah Mordechai k'moshe Rabbeinu. So we know that Mordechai is milosh and mar dror. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people of Israel to take mar dror, this b'samim rosh. And this means that Mordechai down the line is going to be a great leader on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is something amazing. What is it about Mordechai that upgrades him to the level of a Moshe Rabbeinu? And the answer is that Mordechai, like Moshe before him, personifies the midah of anava, right? Ish Yehudi, like the Ish Anav Miot of Moshe Rabbeinu. You remember that Haman was elated when he set up this lottery and it fell on the month of Adar, because in the month of Adar Moshe Rabbeinu died. So he thinks that's a good omen for the Amalekim against the Jews. But what he didn't know is that just like Moshe Rabbeinu died on the 7th of Adar, he also was born on the 7th of Adar. So he says, what does it mean that Hikdimu Yom HaMisal Yom HaLeda? They said the following, that Lo hayodeh she b'shiva b'ador meis u b'shiva b'ador nolad. That's a strange language, you know, that on the 7th of Adar he died, Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, why didn't they start with the fact that he was born? You know, birth comes a heck of a long time before death. So the answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu is representative not just of one physical being, of one individual who was born on a certain day and died on a certain day, but rather he represents a whole, shall we say, a chain of Jewish leaders throughout history. That's called Ispashtusa de Moshe b'chol dora u'dora. In other words, every tzaddik, every chacham throughout the generations has a little bit of Moshe Rabbeinu, a little bit of a spark of Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama. And therefore, the Gemara wants to emphasize first the Misa of Moshe, the fact that Moshe died on the 7th of Adar, indicating his legacy to generations down the line. And this is something that, of course, Haman was totally unaware of. Lo hayu yodea, Haman didn't know she'b'shiva b'adar meis, who b'shiva b'adar nolad. He didn't know that after the death of Moshe on Zayin Adar, there would be another Leda. Another Leda means the birth of Chachmei Yisrael throughout the generations in each Dar, in each generation. And down the line at the time of Achashverosh and Haman, the legacy, so to speak, or the continuation of Moshe Rabbeinu is Pashtusei. The Moshe would be in the personality of Mordechai. Mordechai would bring the downfall of Haman and the salvation of the Jewish people, because Mordechai was the personification of Moshe's Anova, and he could fight, as we said before, against Amalek. Now, let's just see if we can define what's unique about Moshe Rabbeinu, and then we can draw the parallel to Mordechai. We said that Mordechai, number one, was similar to Moshe on Nova. Number two, Mordechai stood on the Peretz, so to speak, in order to defend the Jewish people and save them. Number three, Mordechai taught Torah and transmitted Torah just like Moshe did. So now we can begin to ask, what power inheres in Moshe Rabbeinu as the leader to be Oved the Peretz to save Klal Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel? So now we're going to open up to Perek Lamed Beis. You'll have to turn a few pages, and we're going to look at Pasuk Zion. So what page is that on?
It's on, one second, 2:13.
Okay. Vaydaber Hashem, you want to read that, Kirsh?
Vaydaber Hashem o Moshe l'mor. Lech reg ki shichet amcha asher helita me'eretz Mitzrayim.
Okay, suru, saru, I should say.
Saru maher min haderech asher tzivitim asu lahem egel masecha v'yishtachavu lo v'yizbechu lo v'yomru eile elokecha Yisrael asher helucha me'eretz Mitzrayim.
Okay, so Hashem tells Moshe, while Moshe Rabbeinu is up on the mountain, go down, because your people have done a really destructive act. I took them out of Mitzrayim, but they deviated from my path that I commanded them, and instead they created a calf, and they bowed down to it, they worshipped for it. And basically God is saying, let me destroy the people of Israel, because my wrath is very intense. But why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Reid Kishiches Amcha? You know, the idea that he has to go down. Is there some significance to that? And furthermore, Moshe Rabbeinu says later on that Hashem should spare the Jewish people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response was, Hanichali, let me be. That's what God says. So Rashi says, what did God mean when he said, let me be, Hanichali? And the answer is, if you understand my hint, I'm telling you, leave me, as if to say, I won't be able to destroy them unless I have your okay. That's what's written in the code here, below the surface. And Hashem is now notifying Moshe Rabbeinu that everything depends upon him. That if he, Moshe Rabbeinu, could come forward and pray on behalf of Klal Yisrael, so he can spare them, he can save them. All this is indicated by the Lech Reid. And when Hashem says to him, Hanichali, let me be. And the Gemara tells us about David HaMelech, something very similar. that David HaMelech also was very humble, and he had a Rebbe who taught him Torah by the name of Rav Iya Hayairi. And after this Rav Iya Ira passed away, David HaMelech changed the nature of transmission of Torah. As long as Rabbi Ira was alive, the Rebbe would sit on a higher plane and the children or the youngsters would sit on the floor. After his death, when David HaMelech took over his position, started teaching Torah, he did not sit on Karim Ksusas. He did not sit elevated like a Rebbe would, and that was the tradition, but rather he sat on the floor, on the karka, and he taught Torah while he was sitting on the floor. As a result, Hashem said, your merits are such that Yuchal Levatel Gzeros Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have the power to detonate or to neutralize the Gzeros, the terrible decrees of Hashem against the Jewish people. Here we're turning to page 3. So it's fascinating to note that when David HaMelech sits on the floor, even though he's transmitting Torah, what does that indicate? What does that reflect on? When you have a right to sit above the Talmidim, and that's what the Rebbe does, but you want to sit on the floor.
Humility.
Correct, anava. It's humility. And because of this humility, Hashem says that you will be able to be mevatel my gzeros. That you, David HaMelech, have a tremendous power to nullify my decrees against the Jewish people. So you'll see here on page 3 that you have a quote here from the Gemara in Moed Katan. And in this discussion, the Gemara says that David would sit the yeshiva. And that means yeshiva al gabi karka. He would actually sit on the ground. And that's how he taught Torah. And this was a tremendous midah of anova, of shiflus, what we call. Now, why did David HaMelech sit on the floor? Again, getting back to the Gemara in Titus, it says that Torah is always compared to what?
Mayim.
To mayim, to water. And water goes from where? From high places down to low places. So too, David HaMelech says, I'm going to come down off my lofty chair and I'm going to sit with you on the ground. I guess they didn't have chairs in those days the way we have today. And this is called shiflus. And the Gemara says, Ein divrei Torah miskayim ve'elu b'misha daito shvela olav. Only with regard to someone who has shiflus. Someone who is humble, doesn't think the world of himself. So we now understand that the midah, this attribute of anava, gives a person who's an anav, who is a humble person, the ability to be mevatel gzeiros of Shal HaKadosh Baruch, to undermine bad, evil decrees against the Jewish people. And why is that so? Hoil v'shpalta atzmecha, since you, David, made yourself humble, and you lowered yourself, you know, giving up on all that pageantry and kavod and that great honor, is therefore kamoni. You're like me, says God. Ani, and if you're like me, then ani goes exervata mevatla. That if you have the same, so to speak, the level of sanctity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's mashpil is atzmo, then David HaMelech has the ability to pray on behalf of the Jewish people and be mevatel gzeiros Hashem. And therefore, we find that David HaMelech says, Hashem tzilcha, that God saved you. And why? Because of David's prayers. And his power is all inherent in the fact that he has this, he personifies this midah of humility. So if I were to ask you what connects both Moshe Rabbeinu, Mordechai and David together in one chain, it's humility. That seems to be the power, and that gives them all the ability to stand in front of Hashem and pray in a way that God accepts the prayers and protects the Jewish people. It's interesting that David HaMelech is a pasuk that we're familiar with from our kofas, from Leil Simchas Torah. He says, Kohanecha Yilbishu Tzedek. And then he says, V'chasidech Yiranenu. Now, Chasidech Yiranenu, L'chore, is a reference to the Levim who sing the songs in the Beis HaMikdash. But if that be the case, why does he say Chasidech Yiranenu? He should have said, Kohanecha Yilbishu Tzedek, V'ulevi'echa Yiranenu, that the Levim are the ones who sing the songs. Why Tzadikim? And the answer is offered by the Zohar. The Zohar says that David said, "Karnecha yibushut tzedek chasidecha yiranenu v'lamadnu sham shahayet tzarch lomar v'leviach." Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu David, "Ein darki l'shanos midosai ela achashes mantos yeshli lasos utzonecha." Wow, this is an amazing chazal. According to the Zohar, Hashem says that you have invited me, and I'm your guest, and we have a rule that the guest does not refuse his host. And that's called Kol Masha, Kol Masha Yomer L'Chabal Bais Haseh, anything he tells you to do, you do. Now, what does it mean that David HaMel hosted Kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch, and God says, well, you hosted me, and therefore I have to treat you with compassion? And the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ram Vinose Umisnase. He really, in and of himself, he's up there way beyond our human sphere. But nevertheless, Hashem declares, Vesdako Ushfal Ruach Chada Omar Iti Dako. So that means, the Gemara in Sota tells us that God could come down from the highest heavens all the way down to this earth. And that's what it means. Hashamayim esaprim, Hashamayim, Shamayim Lashem, V'aretz nasan livnei adam. Shamayim belongs to Hashem, but this land, this earth, was given to man. And what does it mean that this land was given to man? That man could create a home for Hashem in this land. In other words, man becomes the Baal HaBos, so to speak, the host who invites HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down from the highest heavens and he comes to be Mashre Shekhinah upon whom? Upon an Anav, someone who's humble. And that's what gives the Baal HaBos, in this case the Anav, the possibility and the power to invite Hashem as his guest. Hashem says, now I can't refuse my guest because the rule is Kol Mashem Baal Bais Omer Aseh, whatever the Baal Bais tells you to do, that's what you have to do. And what was David HaMelech's Anava? How did his humility reach its fruition or express itself in the most profound way? And that is, after his Rebbe died, instead of sitting on a high place to teach Torah, he would sit together with his Talmidim on the ground. And that was an indication of David HaMelech's humility. So David HaMelech now becomes the host to invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why is that so? Because the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Mashre Shekhinah. He wants to come down from the highest heavens to a place where there's Anova, where there's humility. So if you take a look at the next to the last paragraph on page Gimel, you have that where it says V'nira L'Hosif? Don't all answer at once. Again, on the left column, the next to the last paragraph, V'nira L'Hosif. You see such a paragraph?
Yes.
Oh. He says the following. David HaMelech sits down on the ground when he teaches Torah to Klal Yisrael. And basically, he is number 7 on the list of what's called the Ro'im. You know, the shepherds of Israel. It starts with Avram, Yitzhak and Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron and Yosef. So we have 6. And then we have David. And these numbers reflect various midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The last midah is Malchus, is kingship. David HaMelech is connected with kingship. He's number 7 on the list of the Roim because he embodies Malchus. Now you and I know that Malchus refers to kingship, to the Melech al Yisrael, but what is kingship on a deeper level? And he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah, is the Midah of Malchus. God is the Melech Malchi Amlochim. So the Shechina is Malchus the Kodesh. And that's called Malchus Shechinata Tatar. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down to this world. And let's read on the bottom, he has here another quote from the Zohar. And it says, "B'shaita the Asi Barnash leKabel LeOma Hashmaya." When at a moment when a person, a human being, whose flesh and blood comes to accept upon himself the yoke of heaven, Kidein Shchinta. Going on to page 4, Asya V'Sharia Al Reshe B'Shoshet Ba Benod leKabel LeOma Hashmaya Hashchina Ba V'Shora Al Rosho. So when a person accepts upon himself a commitment to fulfill God's will, then the Shekhinah comes al rosho, onto his head. Which means that David HaMelech becomes the Merkava of Shekhinah, the chariot, so to speak, the resting place of Shekhinah. Because let's just fast forward a little bit to the paragraph that says Moshe. You see in bold letters, it says Moshe. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Lech reid ki shiches amcha. Go down. And then he says, V'yata anicha li, to give him a hint that it's time that he, Moshe Rabbeinu, would pray and be mevatel gzeira. So what's the lech reid ki shiches amcha? He quotes the Tanchuma. B'shah shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu sa'olam nis'ava sheyelo dira betachtonis. When God created the world, he was interested, this was his agenda, his hope, his plan, so to speak, that the people on earth would make the earth into a place where God's Shekhinah could reside, that God would, so to speak, be figuratively invited into the home that they create for Hashem, and God would be able to reside, and his Shekhinah would reside in that home. Is bara esa other vitzivos of yomelo mikol eitz hagan ochum ti ochum eitz hadas tovra lo te ochum imenu vi'ora al tzivuyo. He was given these mitzvos, these commands, and he violated them. Is miyad silek hakadosh baruch hu shchinas al rakia. Now at this point, the Medrash Tanchuma goes through the entire history of man and man's failures and man's criminal rebellion against God throughout the history, from the time of Enosh, who worshipped Avodah Zarah, all the way through till Moshe Rabbeinu getting the Torah. And during all these periods of time, there always was one gadol, one great outstanding pious individual who would save the world from destruction, so to speak. So for example, you find that after Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, the Shekhinah went up one level, back up to heaven. And then after Cain killed Hevel, it went up another notch, further and further away from man. Dar Enosh, they were already idol worshippers, and therefore there was Histalkus Ashkina. And finally, the Dar Amabel was the most intense violation of God's will, and therefore was a total destruction. And yet, despite these Gzeros, in every generation there would be someone, a great giant, would come forth and save the people. For example, Avram Avinu stood up. And he was so great in his Maisim Tovim that he was able to bring down the Shekhinah. Remember, the Shekhinah had already disappeared into the seventh sphere. And Avraham Avinu brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu down a little bit, back closer to man. And this goes on and on. Levi, Kahas, Amram, until finally we get to Moshe Rabbeinu. When we get to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Now the Shekhinah is back to man in that intricate, intimate relationship between the Shekhinah and man. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who was able to take the Shekhinah down to earth at the time of Matan Torah, from its very high place where it was, so to speak, hiding, or it was running away from man's evilness. And therefore, by Yerid Hashem al Har Sinai means, with the middle column now on the page, page 4, that now the Shekhinah comes down onto Har Sinai. And all this is because of Moshe Rabbeinu's anvanus, his humility. For each Moshe anav mi od mi kol ha'odav ashel pnei adam. So by transmitting the Torah to Klal Yisrael, he gave Klal Yisrael the ability to bring down the Shekhinah again and again for someone who is dedicated to the study of Torah. So now we'll get back to our pasuk, Lech Reid Kishiches Amcha Osulem Egel Masecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to tell Moshe Rabbeinu that he should pray on behalf of Klal Yisrael to completely nullify all the gzeros that Hashem had decreed against the Jewish people. So, ki be'emes rotz HaKadosh Baruch Hu shispal al Yisrael levatel mehem gzeras chloya. God was desiring Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer to stave off this total destruction. Ulam hayos shahayu b'shamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was up in the heavens at the time of the Chet HaEgel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, Asher Shom HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chinas palabayis, is therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makdim rachmim and chesed refula maka, and he tells Moshe lech reid kishiches amcha. In other words, there's no reason for the Shekhinah to come down to earth because man is totally, totally evil. Oh, there is a reason. And what is that? It's you, Moshe Rabbeinu, because you believe in Hashem's rachamim. So therefore, lech reid, go down to the earth, to the material earth, and I will open up the heavens in order to bring down, salvation and so forth. Kashatil amata ba'aretz, when you get down to the earth, Moshe Rabbeinu, then build me a home that I might dwell therein. In other words, the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu coming down from the mountain to live on earth is ha'aretz nasata livnei adam. The pasuk says that you have given land or the earth to man. And if the earth is given to man, and in this case it's given to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu builds a mishkan, an oel, and he invites HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be his guest, so the Shekhinah will come back to his oel. That's what the Chazal meant, that Hashem is a guest in Moshe Rabbeinu's house. And Hashem says, anything you ask me to do, I have to do, because that's the rule. The rule, and God is bound by the same rules. Kol ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kol ma Shem Balabayis Omer Aseh. Whatever the Balabai says, that's what you have to do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Atah Hanichali, let me go. So Rashi says, what was Hashem saying when he said, let me go? Rashi says, as a mashal, it's like someone was grabbing onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cloak and not letting God, and not letting him go. This was a Pesach, Rashi says. He was indicating an opening, a crack, that here, Moshe Rabbeinu, you'll be invited to be mispalel, to pray on behalf of the Jewish people. And all this is because of Lech Reid, because Moshe Rabbeinu comes down to the earth, brings the Shekhinah down, and now Hashem says, Hanichali, because I can't destroy them without your okay. Because now you're the Balabas, I'm coming down from the heavens, and I'm your guest, and I can't violate the will of the host. As if this be the case, we begin to understand at our Sinai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Hinei Anochi Boi Lech Ba'af Hanan Ba'avur Yishma'am B'davrimah V'gam B'choy Yaminu Li'olam. Rashi says, Hinei Anochi Boi Lecha B'av Ha'anan. What does that mean? Boi Lecha Ba'av Ha'anan.
I'll come to you in a cloud.
Right. He says, "Ani yored elecha l'ashrosh chinasi ba'aretz b'zchus avinu secha." that since you are the Anav, the Kol Anav, you know, I'm going to come down from the heavens and reside in the house that you built for me, in that abode, the Av HaAnav. Bavur Yishma Am B'Davri Imach. Let's open up, or shall we say, what word am I looking for? Let's create a situation, a scenario in which the people of Israel would realize that they're not totally rejected. They are now responsible to do tshuva. Is Bavur Yishma Am B'Davri Imach. That there should be a replacement of the original Hashras HaShechina, which we said was lost. And Hashem says, now I do want to be Masha my Shechina, Gam B'chol Yaminu Li'olam, that you had a koach to be mevatel gzeros. And the reason for that is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to fulfill HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dictum, Kol Mashi Yomer L'cha Bal Abayis Aseh. And now on the left column, he says, we begin to understand what is the significance of defining and describing Mordechai as Ish Yehudi. And the answer is, there's a triple header comparison or parallel between Moshe Rabbeinu and Mordechai. Let's just go through these three dimensions. He says, number one, Moshe. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu Ish Moshe Anav Miyod. So that's going to be point number one about Moshe Rabbeinu, correct? That's pretty explicit. Now we're saying that since Mordechai is called an Ish Yehudi, so we're going to see a parallel between Moshe and Mordechai in the fact that they're both Anova. They both embody and personify Anova. Number two, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to stand at a very critical crossroads, pray on behalf of the Jewish people and spare them and save them. Same thing is going to apply in the case of Mordechai. He's going to successfully save Klal Yisrael from Gzeres Haman. And finally, Moshe Rabbeinu teaches Torah, he transmits Torah, and Mordechai transmits Torah. And if this be the case, we begin to understand why Chazal tried to teach us the great power of Mordechai. And that is because Mordechai is the epitome of Anova. He's like the Ish Yehudi, like the Ish of Moshe, who's the Anov called Adam. And since he's the Anov like Moshe, he can be Zocha that the Shechina will be Shora on him. It'll come down from the high points down to reside in this world. And that's how, in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, if you remember, he was Lech Rei, he was able to go out there and be Mevatel Gzeira to destroy the Jewish people. So too, Haman was instituting a Gzeira, and Mordechai was able to defeat that Gzeira, and the reason for that is because Mordechai is the host for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if he can pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will answer his prayers. And if this be the case, then we understand that since Moshe is similar, I should start the other way around, since Mordechai is similar to Moshe Rabbeinu in three different nekudos, three different ways, therefore Moshe Rabbeinu has a power which now he bequeaths or is inherited by Mordechai, and that is the power to bring about the salvation of Klal Yisrael and supplicate in front of God, and b'schus, as a result of the whole experience, is Kibu v'Kiblu. There's a new Kabbal Satorah at the time Mordechai, just like there was at the time Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, coming back to our original discussion about Mo's Purim, remember we said that we don't ask questions, and we don't check out a person's credentials. You know, if he asks for tzedakah on Purim, we give him without hesitation. And we said that according to the Chiddush Aram, that's indicative of the Anhag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Purim, that anyone who comes to ask Hashem on Purim for whatever bakasha, for whatever they need, Hashem will not throw them, reject them or ignore them and say, well, where are your credentials? You don't really deserve it. And this is all because Mordechai was mevatel l'gzeira to destroy the Jewish people in the zchus that he brought down the Shekhinah on this earth, and kol ma sheyomer lo ba'al bayis aseh, is therefore every year on Purim we have the ability, like Moshe Rabbeinu at the time of the Chet HaEgel, or Mordechai at the time of the Bikesh Laharog Liaba, the Gzeir of Haman, we have the ability to bring the Shekhinah down. And if we bring the Shekhinah down, then Hashem is got to listen to our prayers, because kol ma sheyomer lecha ba'al bayis aseh. So on Purim, kimu v'kibu Yisrael sabtor mi'ava, and in the schus of limud Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down, and he's mashra Shekhinah al lomdei Torah. He rests his Shekhinah on those who study Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore will treat Klal Yisrael as any guest will behave vis-a-vis his host, and he's got to listen to what his host says. And if we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, somebody came to ask for tzedakah, I didn't check out his credentials, I immediately dug into my pocket and I gave to him out of a sense of compassion, then we're asking you, Hashem, as well, to have compassion on Klal Yisrael, bring about the Yeshua. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since we imitated, you know, this midah of Mordechai, and before him of David HaMelech, and before him of Moshe Rabbeinu, we deserve to be treated on the level of a Baal Bayis, and therefore kol mashe Baal Bayis omer lecha say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you now are being mashe Yishchina in us, because we embody also the Midah of Anov, and also because we dedicate ourselves to giving tzedakah to those who put out their hands on Purim, even though maybe they do deserve it, maybe they don't, we don't know. We're not going to ask any questions. And so too, the Ribbono Shel Olam will hear our prayers, and without questioning them, he will bring about the fruition of those prayers. Yiratzon Hashem Yizocheh to the Hashras Hashchina through the Midah of Anov, and to learn the lessons of both Parshas Kitisa and the ability of Moshe to save Klal Yisrael, and Megillas Esther, the ability of Mordechai to save Klal Yisrael, and we should be zochim Hashem that we have these kind of leaders in every generation that are so dedicated to the people, and their midah is midah v'anov. Anov means they don't want anything for themselves; they're not building up themselves, but rather they are totally humble. And these people of Mirtz Hashem are such great leaders that they will bring about the ultimate geula, the salvation of Klal Yisrael, that we will be the conduits to bring the Shekhinah down here to this land, and that's the purpose for which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And if we zochen to do that, we'll definitely see Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu B'meherav Yomenu. Amen.
Amen.